Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 38 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Today is Friday, March 30th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Sitka herring fleet remains tied up and on two-hour notice. Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Dave Gordon said Fish and Game will continue to monitor the herring schools, which appear concentrated north of Sitka. The fishery has been on two-hour notice since Tuesday morning. There's no current information on the department's herring hotline this morning. The Sitka School Board is pulling more than $1 million out of reserves in order to balance next year's budget. The district will cut one full-time special education aide next year and add a special education teacher and elementary teacher. Superintendent Steve Branshaw says the additions are necessary to keep class sizes manageable. The district's 2013 spending plan was approved by the school board on Wednesday night. It pulls more than $960,000 from the district's operating fund balance and another $81,000 from its transportation reserve. It also counts on an additional intensive need student, which brings more funding. The plan chosen was the middle of three options that ranged in severity. The budget, as approved by the board, leaves $250,000 in reserve. School Board President Lon Garrison says that makes the school board uncomfortable.
It's the lowest we've taken our reserves in many, many years. I think at one point, maybe 10 years ago or something, they had gone down to about $189,000, but there's some real risks with going that low.
Those risks include unforeseen expenditures. But Garrison also says bigger expenses could come due at different times of the year, and the reserve funds act as a cushion for the district's cash flow. Garrison says spending down such a large percentage of the reserve and cutting the special education aid position are necessary choices, not ideal ones.
You know, at least we're not taking specific instruction out of the classroom, and that's what we were really trying to avoid if we could.
The school board put off its budget vote by a week in order to find out if extra money might be coming from the city. It did. The Sitka Assembly approved forward funding of $300,000 on Tuesday night. The money will be paid back if the district's budget picture ends up better than expected. Garrison says the school board appreciates the forward funding.
It gives us some confidence about the choices that we could make. And I think it did give us the ability to consider moving forward with trying to maintain programs as best we can.
The school board approved its final budget, but a lot remains unknown. The school district is counting on flat funding from the city's annual contribution, about $5 million, but the assembly has yet to decide the amount. The state legislature is still considering bills that could up the amount of money per student, and Congress has yet to decide on a key piece of federal funding. Those factors could change the picture drastically for Sitka schools in either direction. Education Commissioner Mike Hanley was in Sitka yesterday to participate in a march against domestic violence. He took a moment to answer some questions about education funding, too. The Parnell administration has opposed a three-year increase in the base student allocation, or BSA, instead favoring year-to-year support. Hanley says the long-term solution for education funding is tough.
We do have a responsibility, a core responsibility, to have a solid education opportunity for our kids in the state. We also look at the realities of what our future looks like with declining oil prices, and that's a tough balance. You know, it's not okay to necessarily put money in that we can't afford tomorrow. And so we need to find a way to continue to support the system in a way that we can that's sustainable. And that is the struggle we're having right now. Some would say we need to fund it until we run out. Others would say we need to look to the future and say we need to fund it carefully. And so that is the question that is being debated so heavily right now in the legislature.
I know there are a lot of questions about especially the increase in the BSA and those issues. What do you think is going to happen with that, and what would you like to see happen with that?
It's hard to say what's going to happen. Things are changing all the time right now in the legislature, and I'm there watching it closely. As you're aware, the governor would like to see targeted funding for education to meet those direct needs that we see in our school districts have. And yet there's the other side that is really working towards a BSA increase, which is a foundational increase that stays in there and is built upon. It's hard to say what's going to come out at the end of the day.
That's State Education Commissioner Mike Hanley discussing school funding during a visit to Sitka yesterday. You can link to complete information about the school district's budget by visiting our website, kcaw.org. Sitka residents joined others across Alaska yesterday in marching against domestic violence. The Choose Respect campaign is led by Governor Sean Parnell's administration. In Sitka, it's resulted in marches and in the commissioning of a mural that now hangs on the side of Blatchley Middle School. Vicki D'Amico is interim director of Sitkins Against Family Violence. She says the way communities address domestic violence has changed in the last several years, and that prevention programs, the daily work of law enforcement and healthcare professionals, along with statewide awareness campaigns, are all making a long-term difference.
And I'll make a confession here. When I first heard the term choose respect, I thought, you know, of just say no by Nancy Reagan. You know, it's just not that easy. Just choose respect. What does that mean? People haven't been modeled respect. They don't know what that is. It would be just great if they could, you know, pick it out of a hat and choose it. But it's so much more than that. I figure that my grandson, who is four now, will see the effects of our prevention program by the time he's in Blatchley. And we can't expect immediate results, but there is finally hope that in the next, you know, with our grandchildren and children, there'll be some changes.
The march in Sitka culminated in a rally at Crescent Harbor. Mount Edgecombe High School junior Nelson Canuck was among those who addressed the crowd.
We all have the same blood in our veins. We all sleep at night. And we are not different. And for us young people that are here, we are all proud to be here representing the next generation, because we are the seeds of our future. And we can turn this around in our state. And as a whole, we can change this in our world and to have it encrypted everywhere, because we have to get rid of violence. It just doesn't fit with us. I believe that's the way we're supposed to live. Respect is our way of life.
Sitka's march and rally joined 122 other events across the state. Save the post office. That was the rally cry in downtown Douglas Wednesday, as a crowd of about 100 urged Congress to pass legislation to keep open the community's post office. The Douglas station is one of more than 3,600 post offices nationwide being considered for closure by the financially strapped United States Postal Service. Casey Kelly has more.
Oh, yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
A flatbed truck served as a makeshift stage at the noontime rally. Organizer Suzanne Williams stepped to the microphone and urged residents to contact Alaska's congressional delegation, especially Senator Mark Begich.
He is on the Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, which oversees the U.S. Postal Service. He's the critical one. You need to contact him this week.
Williams even handed out pre-printed postcards. Sally Smith with Begich's Juneau office said Congress is unlikely to act on Postal Service budget relief legislation until after the Easter holiday, giving residents more time to send in their comments. Smith says Begich is working hard to keep all Alaska post offices open.
We don't have promises, but we have hope. And you're helping to reinforce that hope by being here. The postcards that you send, when you send them to my office, they will go into the scanner. They will get to DC as quickly as we can process them in the office. I'm sorry, guys, they won't go by mail.
The Postal Service's financial problems have been well documented, ranging from the economy to the internet to a 2006 congressional mandate requiring the Postal Service to pre-fund retirement benefits. USPS Alaska Region spokesman Ernie Swanson says the agency has proposed several solutions to the budget shortfall, including discontinuing Saturday delivery and removing the requirement to pre-fund retirement.
But to this point, Congress has not done anything to grant us any of that, so it's still sitting there waiting to be decided upon.
Congress did ask USPS for a moratorium on post office closures through May 15th. Swanson says no decision has been made on any of the more than 3,600 locations nationwide being considered for closure. And while the agency is done taking comment, it does take note of demonstrations like the one in support of the Douglas Post Office.
We don't ignore things like that. We're interested in what the community thinks and how strongly they feel about their postal situation. It's So that will have a bearing, but I can't put a number on it as to how much of an impact it would have.
Pat Peterson thinks it would be a mistake for the Postal Service to close the Douglas Post Office. The owner of the Douglas Inn Bar and president of the Douglas 4th of July Committee has lived in the community all his life.
Got my post office box in 1975. It's been through two divorces. It's the only thing that my ex-wives didn't get.
Seriously, Peterson says the post office is vital to the Douglas community.
They take good care of us, and if I have something and I haven't picked it up, they'll call me up and say, hey, come down and get your mail. So the service is real personable, and they're just good people to know.
The rally ended up at the post office, where Juneau Mayor Bruce Botello, who lives in Douglas, presented postal clerks Lee Kearney and Dean Ruby with certificates of appreciation to thunderous applause.
You're the personification of the best of the service.
Kearney was visibly moved by the tribute.
My great-grandparents are buried over here. And this community is just really something else.
Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe will make the final decision on which post offices to close. He'll consider input from the Alaska District Office, which held a public meeting in Douglas last September. Four other post offices in the state are on the list for possible closure. The Anchorage Postal Store and postal stations at Elmendorf and Eielson Air Force Bases and Fort Wainwright. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for rain showers, highs around 45. Southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, rain showers likely, lows around 35. Southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Saturday, cloudy, scattered rain showers mixed with snow in the morning, highs around 44. East winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. You can catch most Raven news and interviews again at our website, kcaw.org. This is KCAW, Sitka.